Today's shir is Masechta Erech in Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin in Daf Chaf Beis on an Aleph, the Tapet Al Mitan Rabban. Our Gemara continues discussing the situation when we do this appraisal system that we learned in the Mishnah in the previous year. Tan Rabban, the Brayse teaches us, Shuma Yisoymin, when we do an appraisal on the property of the Yisoymin, we do it for Shlosh Minyan for 30 days, for Shema Hegdish, and when we do it on property belonging to Hegdish, we do it for Shish Minyan for 60 days, Divrei Rameya. That is the opinion of Rameya. Yehuda says, Shema Yisoymim, Shish Minyan. By Yisoymim, we do this bidding, appraisal and bidding system for 60 days, for Shema Hegdish, and when we do it for Hegdish, Tish Minyan. And it is the opinion of the Chachamim, Echadzev, Echadzev, both by Hegdish and by Yisoymim, we do it for Shishim Yoyim for 30 days. Amar Chizda Amar Avimi, so he paskins, Halacha, Shema Yisoymim Shishim Yoyim, that the sum of the Yisoymim is for 60 days. Says the Gemara, Yasser Rav Chivar Ova, the Kamu Al Shemaitza, Rav Chivar Oven was sitting and saying over this that Rav Chizda taught him. Amle Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Rav Chivar Oven. Shishim Kamrit or Shloshim Kamrit. Did you say 60 days or 30 days? Amle. So he said, Shishim. I said that the appraisal must be done for 60 days. So then he continued to ask him, do you sign him the Hegdish? Are you speaking about Yisoymim or Hegdish? Amle, the Yisoymim. So he said, I'm speaking about Yisoymim. So then he continued asking him, Kremeya or Krem Yehuda? Do you follow the opinion of Rameya or do you follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? So the Mefarshim asked, how could he ask the question, are you following the opinion of Rameya or Rabbi Yehuda? We just finished learning the Braisa, which was very clear what is the opinion of Rameya and what is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rameya clearly indicated that he holds that Shema Yisoymim is Shloshim Yoyim. So how could there be a question, what is Rameya's opinion? Rameya was very clear on what his opinion is, and this a statement of Rav Chizda clearly does not follow that opinion. So I saw two answers in the Mefarshim. One answer is that although our Gemara has this as two separate questions, and therefore when it is listed as two separate questions, it's sort of difficult to understand, really it was asked as one question. When we speak about 60 days, is it 60 days by Hegdish, or are you saying 60 days by Yisoymim, and that will know whose opinion you're following, the opinion of Rameya or the opinion of Yehuda. Another explanation that I saw is that, of course, saying that the Shema Yisoymim is Shishim Yoyim cannot be following the opinion of Rameya. Rameya clearly paskins that the Shema Yisoymim is Shloshim Yoyim. But not only does Rameya pass in that way in the Braisa that we just began in our Shia today, but actually that is also the opinion of the Stam Mishnah. And here, by him passing that the Shema Yisoymim is not 30 days, but he's passing that the Shema Yisoymim is Shishim Yoyim, he's actually going against the Psak of our Mishnah. That was the question that he was being asked. How are you paskening contrary to our Mishnah? I'm like Rameya. So he said, Rameya Shloshim Kam, Rameya said 30 days. I'm like Hocham Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, Mavimi Kulfi Tavli Bali Aloy Da Shmaitza. I learned this Gemara from Avimi, and when he taught me this shir, he hit me many times that I should remember what I'm teaching him. Some say he did it with the intent that I remember what I'm teaching him. And others say that because I was forgetting it so often, Avimi hit me. And the Farshim, of course, all discuss what's pshat and what the Gemara is saying here, that he was hit. And the Farshim explained that in order for one to have success in his learning, one has to suffer somewhat to succeed in learning. The pasuk says, "Adam
kiyamas ba'oil, and the Gemara darshins, ein divrei Torah miskaynin el b'mishin meimis atzmai olah. In order to succeed in learning, one has to be prepared to work hard, be meimis, suffer for his learning. The Marim Chagiz, I saw, says that unfortunately he was an only child, a Yosin. His father passed away when he was young. But his father, although he passed away when the Marim Chagiz was young, left him a substantial inheritance. Yet his mother, who had this one child, a Yosin, was very careful not to spoil him, because she recognized that success in learning does not come to people who try to enjoy life. I saw a fascinating episode from the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin, in his yeshiva, they would study on tables. And the tables, so somebody wanted to set up tables that were like lazy Susans, revolving tables, so that people could easily, the people could easily get their svarim. If there was a sefer on the other side of the table, they would just be able to turn the table around. And the Trumas Hadeshin did not allow it. He said that in order to succeed in learning, one has to get up to get a sefer. It's not necessarily supposed to come easy. So he said, this Gemara is a Gemara that I learned by Avimi, and Avimi hit me until, and I therefore remember it. And that work is as follows, he says. If he wants to do this announcement on consecutive days, shloshim, then you do it for 30 consecutive days. But if we're only going to do it Monday and Thursdays, shishim, then you have to do it for 60 days. Comments to Gemara. It will count the actual amount of days when an announcement is made. And if it's done only on Mondays and Thursdays through 60 days, you'll only have 18 days. So you're going to have much fewer days. It says the Gemara, since it takes a longer amount of time, it's 60 days, Shami Inchi, people will hear about it, even though it's only announced Monday and Thursdays. The Mishnah Brura discusses if that, why Monday and Thursday? The Rishonim explained, because Monday and Thursday were the days that the people from the villages would come into the town. It was the day that Beis Din was in session, and that's why it's the most, it's the best days where the most people are around to make the announcements. Mr. Brewer makes a, has a discussion if Achraza may be done on Shabbos. For an argument, certainly can be made that Achraza ought to be made on Shabbos. Because given, as we just said, that we want to make a chrozo on a day where the people are there, Shabbos is the day we're the most likely to be there. So chrozo should be done on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Brura that only in certain communities did they make the chrozo on Shabbos. Apparently, most communities certainly did not make the chrozo on Shabbos. And actually, the Gemara that we just learned is a raya to that opinion, explained Achroidim. Because, let's think about it. Our Gemara says that in 60 days, you'll only have Achroza 18 times if you're doing the Achroza only on Monday and Thursday. Now, if we're doing Achroza also on Shabbos, it's going to be more than 18 days in those 60 days. The fact that the Gemara says that there are only 18 days of Achroza during 60 days is clearly an indication that Achroza was not done on Shabbos. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that even though Al Gemara is saying that when it comes to the Achroza of Yesayim, you have an option of either doing Achroza for 30 days consecutively or 60 days Monday and Thursday, when it comes to the Achroza of Hegdish, there is no such distinction, and the Achroza has to be done for 60 consecutive days. Actually, I also saw that the Mefarshim discuss if one, by Hegdish, instead of doing Achroza for 30 days, wants to do Achroza instead of doing Akhrozah for 60 days, wants to do Akhrozah for 120 days on Mondays and Thursdays. Is that an option? And the Mefarshim say it's not an option. By Hegdi, most there is one opinion that I saw that says it would be acceptable, but most explain that the Gemara only gives us that option by Bezdin, but by Yisoyimim. By Hegdish, there's a very hard and fast rule that it has to be 60 consecutive days. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Vasi, Ein Niskakim L'Nichsa Yisoyimim. We do not sell off the property of Yisoyimim. Elam Kei Chayser Rebbe Sechel Zpehem. That means we don't sell off the property of the Yisoyimim unless it's to their benefit. And here it's to their benefit because they're paying interest and we want to sell it off so they shouldn't have to pay interest anymore. Rav Yochanan says, Oy l'shtar shesh b'ribis. Either it's a situation of interest, as we just discussed, Oy l'ksubis isha v'shem ezoinim. The halacha is that as long as a woman, if the marriage terminated, as long as the woman doesn't collect the ksuba, then the halacha is that she's entitled to be supported by the estate. So we want to pay off the ksuba so she shouldn't get those mezoinis payments anymore. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says that even though it's the assets of Yisoyimim Ketanim, we are allowed to sell them off. The Mefarshim make an interesting observation. It seems that when we're speaking about Ashtar Shiyesh Bo Ribis, there's actually no machlokes between Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore they ask, why did the Gemara have to mention again by the opinion of Ashtar Shiyesh Bo Ribis, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? He agrees with Rabbi Asi. It doesn't have to be repeated. So there are Mefarshim that want to suggest that actually there is a machlokes even by Shtar Shiyesh by Ribis between Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan. Because what would be the halacha if there's a loan, an interest-bearing loan? But there are two types of interest-bearing loans. There are interest-bearing loans that you're paying interest every day, or there's another type of interest-bearing loan, which is, if you don't pay me up, if you don't pay by a certain day, then interest kicks in. So the Mefarshim don't want to suggest that would be an issue of a dispute between Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. According to Rav Asi, you only sell the assets of the Yisoyimim when they're actually paying interest, not where potentially they'll be paying interest. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, as long as it's an interest-bearing loan, even though they're not actually paying interest currently, you would already sell off assets. And there are actually two rises to this pshat. One is the actual wording of the Gemara. Because if we look at Rav Asi's wording, Rav Asi says, Elam ken hoysa ribis oichel spen. They're actually paying ribis. Rav Yochanan's wording is, shtar shesh ben ribis. It's a loan with ribis. It doesn't say that they're actually paying. And the other raya we'll see in a moment. Ask the Gemara. Rav Asi my time alone will to the Sisha. Isn't Rav Yochanan making sense that they're paying mezoinis? So wouldn't you want to pay off the ksuba so they shouldn't have to pay the mezoinis anymore? Answer the Gemara. The kino rabbanim master there. The Yisoyimim paying the mezoinis, says the Gemara, doesn't represent the loss. Why doesn't it represent the loss? Because just like when a couple are married, the halach is that the husband has to support her, but she has to give him his wages. The same thing over here. So the Yisoyimim, even though they're paying mezoinis, they're getting instead the wages, and therefore there's no reason to pay off the ksuba. Vida. So how does Rabbi Yochanan explain himself? Zimnun de loisapka. Rav Yochanan says it is as follows. This is the way the Sfasem explains the Gemara. Of course, if her wages equal or exceed what the mezoinis, there's no reason to sell off the ksuba. And of course, if they're less than the mezoinis, for sure, even Rav Asi would agree that we should sell it. Here we're referring to a situation where right now, the wages are equal or maybe even greater than the mezoinis. But that could change. her wages, her earnings could go down. Rabbi Yochanan is concerned for that. And since Rabbi Yochanan is concerned for that, he says, sell, pay off the ksuba and get out of this situation. And Rav Asi is not concerned for that. And with the explanation we gave, it's very understandable. Because Rav Yochanan, we see, is always concerned, is always more concerned about eventualities than Rav Asi is. Tanan, ask the Gemara. And the Ramah says, the Ramah quotes a Ran, who quotes a Rajba, who says that in any situation where we have reason to believe that by not selling off the assets, the assignment may be at risk, we are, everybody would agree that we're allowed to sell off their assets. Although we're going to see there's a Marit that disagrees with that remark, and we'll see the basis for the Marit's opinion in a moment. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shema Yisoyman, Shloshim Yoyim, the Shema Hegdash Shishim Yoyim. By Yisoyman, we do this assistant for 30 days, by Hegdash for 60 days. Umachrizen, and we make these announcements, by Baikub Erev, every morning and evening. Ask the Gemara, the Maiskiyim, exactly what is the situation that our Mishnah is referring to? Elam about Chayv and Kachavim, that they owe a non-Jew money, and we're telling him, let us do the achraza, and it's an interest-bearing loan. This is what Rashi explains. And it's an interest-bearing loan. And we tell the aklum, let's hold off on you collecting your interest so we can go through this achraza process. Ask them on mitzayis. The aklum doesn't pay attention. He says, either pay me the interest or let's pay off the loan. So why would we go through achraza process where they're going to continue paying interest every day? El Pshita, it must be talking about a Baal Chayv Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Idukar Chor Bisa, if this is an interest-bearing loan, ask the Gemara Mishafkinah, do we allow a Jew to collect interest? We know that Ribbis is also. Ella, and like Chor Bisa, it's not an interest-bearing loan, says the Gemara V'Tani Nefkakin. Yet our Mishnah says that even though it's not an interest-bearing loan, we still sell off the Yisoyim's assets to pay off the debt, says the Gemara. Bishlam lo Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Yochanan, he's going to explain Mukala v'Ksubas Isha. He's going to explain that it's talking about Ksubas Isha. But ask the Gemara, Ella lo Rav Asi, who says that the only time we sell is for a interest-bearing loan, Kasha, what is the case of the Mishnah? So Tosfos asks, that why did the Gemara have to bring the Mishnah to ask a question on Rav Asi? The Gemara could have asked the question on Rav Asi itself. You say by an interest-bearing loan you're allowed to sell. What is the interest-bearing loan you're allowed to sell with for? If it's by a Jew, we're not allowed to pay interest. And by an Akum, why should we go through the Achraza process? So Tosfos answers, because if we only had Rav Asi's statement, we could have said that Rav Asi is referring to a situation where no one is asking the Yisoyim to pay off the debt, but we on our own will pay it off to take care of the interest concerned. But our Mishnah that says the Bez Din is Machrit, so we'll immediately sell it off just to get them out of this payment. But our Mishnah that says that we do an Achraza, so the focus of the Gemara's question is the Achraza. If we're doing an Achraza, where? By Yisrael there's no interest, and by an Akum, as we just explained, why would we do Achraza that they should continue paying interest? The Mefarshim also continue saying that why don't we say that our Mishnah is speaking about Yisoyim and Gedolim, who are adults, and Rav Asi, who limits the situation when we sell assets of Yisoyim, is only speaking about Ketanim. From here, the Mefarshim bring a raya, an issue that we discussed in the previous year, that our Mishnah speaks about Shema Yisoyim is only speaking about Ketanim. So we couldn't say that our Mishnah is talking about Gedolim. Furthermore, Mefarshim asked, why can't we say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that the father died before the debt was due, And since the father died before the debt is due, we have a rule throughout Shas that there's a chazakah that ain't adam perei choyvei b'toch zmanai, that people don't pay off their debts before their time. So Farshim respond that obviously that's a klal, that's a rule, which Shlokish said, and it's not universally accepted, and that therefore they did not want to explain our Mishnah according to a rule which is not universally accepted. Another question that the MS asks is why not say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where these Yisoyimim have needs and were selling off the assets to cover their expenses, their living expenses. Says the Sfas Emes that when we sell the assets of Yisoyimim to cover their needs, the halach is that we don't go through our achraza process. We just sell them off immediately. Our Mishnah clearly spoke about achraza process, and therefore it can't be speaking about a situation of selling them to meet the Yisoyimim's expenses. But then asked the Sfas Emes that our Gemara is assuming that if it's an interest-bearing loan, it can't be referring to a situation with a Jew, because we're not allowed to pay interest to a Jew. But we know, asked the Sfas Emes, that there are ways that we could pay interest to a Jew through a heteriska. So maybe it's referring to a situation of a heteriska. So the Sfas Emes answers that it's clear that we're referring to a chayv. And the explanation of the Sfas Emes, I believe, is as follows. What does a heteriska say? A heteriska isn't some sort of magic that allows interest to be paid. A heteriska says that it's actually not a loan, but it's actually a business venture. Our Mishnah, our Gemara, is speaking about paying off loans because we don't want the assignment to have to be paying, to be taking a loss. But a business venture that they're involved with is not a loss, it's a business. And therefore, that wouldn't be the case that we would sell their assets for. Says the Marit, and now we explain the Marit that we quoted earlier, if the Rama is correct, that wherever we see it's to the Yisoyimim's benefit to go through this Achraza process, we go through the process, so now Gemara should have just said that that is the case. The fact that our Gemara didn't try to answer the Gemara the question that way seems to be that when Rav Asi said you're only allowed to sell it for Shtar Shiesh by Ribbis, he was speaking about that case and that case only. Says Rav Asi, Amalek Rav Asi, Ul Rav Yochanan Menicha, and according to Rav Yochanan, is it understandable? Let's understand, asks Rav Asi. Mishav Kirim Zoyim, what are we doing here? We're stopping the Kavadikom Mafta, Venatina Charoza, Vloidinin. Ask Rav Asi. You say that we're going to go through the achraza process to sell off the assets to get the ksuba payment. But during that time, she's going to be collecting mezainis, which is a certain loss to the assignment. And if there's a certain loss, we're saying that there is no achraza. So, how do you understand? So how do I understand Rav Yochanan's opinion either? So the Gra makes a beautiful observation. He says, Rav Asi answers his question with a question. Because he doesn't have an answer to his question, he's going to say Rav Yochanan's opinion is also difficult. What's happening here? Says the Gra, Rav Asi isn't just trying to say that Rav Yochanan's opinion is difficult. What Rav Asi is trying to do is much deeper. He's trying to teach us that even though there is perhaps a reason not to do achraza, because by doing achraza, you may end up causing a loss to the assignment, it's worth taking the chance. So the same by a guy. Even though you're paying interest, it's maybe worth taking the chance. Says Rabbi Yochanan, your question isn't the question. Holokasha. The Tvas Ksubas Bebezdin, the woman came to ask for her ksuba payment. And Rabbi Yudam Shmu, Dar Rabbi Yudam Shmu, had to ask ksuba b'bazdin, and Rabbi Zayas. The law is that once a woman demands a ksuba payment, she no longer is entitled to the mezonos. And as the Rishonim explain, once she asks for a ksuba payment, she's totally severing her relationship with her husband, and therefore she's no longer entitled to mezonos. Along the same line, before the Rishonim say, she's showing that it is her intent to get remarried. That's why she's no longer asking for mezonos, and that's why she's asking for a ksuba, and she's no longer entitled to the mezonos. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, what's the whole reason we're selling the Yisoyim's assets? To prevent them from this loss that they're paying mezonos. But if now they won't pay mezonos anymore, so then why should we sell their assets? They're not losing anything. Answers the Gemara, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi seems to learn, we don't do a half a dentara. You can't do the dentara and say that she won't get mezonos and she shouldn't get ksuba either. Either you're going to do the whole dentara and she should not get mezonos and get a ksuba, or not start the dentara at all. Other Rishonim say it much deeper. They say as follows. What? No woman is ever going to come for her ksuba payment if she knows that by asking for a ksuba payment, she's only going to get messed up. That she's not going to get her ksuba, because they're never yisayim ktanim, and she's going to lose her mezonos. So there's no way a woman will ever get into such a situation, and therefore, even though she's losing her mezonos, we have to sell her ksuba. So now, ask the Gemara, become Akum of Rasi Kasha. So we're back to where we started. According to Rasi, what is the case that our Mishnah said that we sell the Yisoyim's property? Answer the Gemara, Lailam Bal Chayav Kachon. It's referring to the debtor, the creditor was a guy, but this guy was Mekabel Lodin Bedina Yisrael. They want to follow Jewish rules. Says the Gemara, if he's following Jewish rules, why are we selling the assets? Because he's collecting ribbis. A Jew's not allowed to take ribbis. So ask all the Mefarshim. A Jew is not allowed to take ribbis. But Akim is allowed to take ribbis. So what's the Gemara saying that he's not allowed to take ribbis? So the simple teretz, the Shoyal Meisha says it, is that the Gemara now is assuming that this Akim, for whatever reason, accepted upon himself that he wants to be treated entirely like a Jew. And says the Gemara, if he wants to be treated entirely like a Jew, being treated like a Jew includes not getting ribbis. But other Mefarshim explain that even if an Akum is entitled to ribbis, that's only because he's entitled to ribbis from the person to whom he lent the money. Here, he didn't lend the money to the father. He lent the money to the father. And particularly, if we follow the opinion which we've discussed, that Shibuda Lav Deraisa, that the children weren't the ones that took upon themselves this loan, so therefore they have the right, the Akum perhaps, even though normally he's entitled to ribbis, here he has no right to ribbis. So the Gemara's question is, but if you're saying that this Akum is following the rules of Jews, so he should follow them all the way, and therefore why do we sell the assets? There's no ribbis. Answer the Gemara, he accepted upon himself that he will allow the Achraza system to work and not collect ribbis during those 30 days, but he's not willing to forego the ribbis entirely, and therefore we sell the assets that they shouldn't have to pay interest. We know, says the Ur of Etumim, that the Akum have Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. Says the Ur of Etumim, one of Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach is Dinim, that they have to have a system of civil law. He says, our Gemara is clearly a Raya, that the rule of civil law by Akum doesn't mean that it has to be Jewish law. It just means that they have to have in place a society of civil law, but not that it has to be the same as by us. Toshma, Ask the Gemara another question, or Rashi. It says in the Mishnah, "Ein Ephraim Nechsi Yisrael Me'elam Mizabonis." The halacha is that normally, especially a loan, is paid from Beinonis, average property. But here says the Mishnah in Masech Gittin that when Yisraelim are paying, they pay from Zaborius. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim debate, is that halacha? Is this halacha only by Yisraelim Ketanim? Or is this rule even by Yisraelim Gedolim? It really depends on how we understand what is the chi of the rice. B'mayiski, ask the Gemara, Ilay Mabal Oivik Chavim, that the creditor is an Akum, and the Mishnah is teaching us that we should pay him Ziborius Mitzos. Is the Akum going to accept it just because it says so in a Mishnah Masech Gittin? El Pshita, it must be referring Baal Chav Yisrael. So now ask the Gemara. Let's understand, what is the situation? This is actually a repetition of the Gemara we just learned. If there's interest being paid on this loan, Mishav Kinilay, may we pay interest to a Jew? Elo, the Loyach Rabisa. It's referring to a situation where there is no interest being paid. For Tani, yet it says Niskakin, that we sell off the assets of Yisoyim to pay off the loan. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, Mukalab Ksubas Isha, he'll explain it's talking about Ksubas Isha. Elo Rav Asi, that says that for Ksubas Isha, we don't sell. So what is that Mishnah talking about? That we're selling off the assets of the assignment. Amalach Rav Asi. So we taught Rav Asi, Ul Rav Yochanan Minicha, and according to Rav Yochanan, is it understandable? Ik Suba, my area, Miyasmi. If you're saying that that Mishnah is talking about Ksuba, the Loch is a film in any day now with Zaburius. The Mishnah is teaching us that when we collect from Yisraelim, we collect Zaburius. But asks the Gemara, the halacha is that a woman, even if she's collecting her ksuba from her husband, is only entitled to Zaburius. And the Gemara explains in the Masechta Gittin, because since women are anxious to get married, tav l'meisav, tam du, milameisav armala, they'll accept a ksuba, even that is Zaburius. Answer the Gemara, holo kasha. Rav Yochanan's opinion can be defended. Because we'll say that that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, that normally an Isha, Ksubas Isha, which she collects the Ksuba from her husband, she collects from Beinonis, comes the Mishnah to teach us, Miyasmi, she collects from Zaburius. But, Mikamokai, that according to Rav Asi, we don't sell the assignment's assets to pay Ksuba. Kasha, how do we understand that Mishnah? Answer the Gemara, it's talking about an Akum. But it's an Akum. Shekibul of Liga Bedina Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Yachir Rebbe Stamil Anishko. So then he's not getting ribbis. So why should we sell off the assignment's assets? Answer the Gemara, Shekibul Uzu Vla Kibul Uzu. He only accepted that he'll wait the 30 days of Achrozo, but he will not forego the ribbis entirely. Tashna. Ask the Gemara. We learned in the Braisa, at the end of yesterday's shir, that when the court sells off the assets of the assignment, they announce, and the Gemara explained at the end of the shir why such an announcement is made. Amunas, Lita and Lisha B'Ksubasa, was selling off these assets in order to give a woman a Ksuba payment, or B'Choyv Choyva. Ask the Gemara, Bishlama B'Mara Makadishnin. Bishlama B'Choyv, that's talking about an akum shekibul azuv like kibul azuv. Elo, when we learned in the Braisa that we sell off assets to pay ksuba, bishlam Rav Yochanan nicha, it's very consistent with Rav Yochanan's opinion. Elo Rav Asi, but Rav Asi's opinion is kasha. Rav Asi holds that we don't sell off assets to pay ksuba. Answers the Gemara, hachad ma'iskina b'shchayim ma'ig. We are referring to a situation where the father said before he died, I indeed owe this ksuba. And therefore, even Rav Asi will agree that under such circumstances, we sell off the assignment's assets. Says the Gemara, Hashta dasas lahachi, that if the father admits that he owes the money, we sell off the assets. all of the questions that we asked Rav Asi can now be explained, that they're talking about a case, Shechayev Maida, that the father admitted that he owes the money. If the father admitted that he owes the mother the money, Rav Asi will also agree that we sell off the assets. Says the Gemara, Merema Agvig Subas Lagusha Menefsi Diasmi. And Merema sold Ksuba in order that the assignment should pay off the Ksuba of a divorced wife. Amrei Ravina Lamema. We don't sell off the assets of the nechassim of Yisraim Ketanim, only if they're taking a loss. Rav Yochanan Amar, Oil Shtash Shesh Beribis, Oil Ksubas Isha, Mishu Mezoinim, because if they don't pay off the Ksuba, they're going to have to pay Mezoinis. Says the Gemara, the field of Rav Yochanan, even Rav Yochanan would say that we sell assets to pay off a Ksuba. Loyomer, he only said his rule by Almana that was selling it off, that they should no longer have to pay the Mezainis, the Kamazafti Mezaini. Abba Grusha, Bufa Grusha, Loy, where there's no Mezainis, why should we sell off the assets? So the first should point out that the Yerushalmi clearly indicates that, a Grusha is entitled to support. So they ask, is this a raya that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi? Because here the Gemara is saying that we're selling off assets with the Mezoinis by Grusha. So the Paiskim say it isn't a raya. So even the Yerushalmi who holds that we pay Mezoinis to Grusha will agree that we don't pay it once the husband dies. But here we're referring to the situation that the husband is no longer alive, and therefore, certainly, there is no mezainis. Amale, says Rav Yochanan, Hahid Rav Yochanan, the reason we sell a ksuba is not because we want to avoid the mezainis payment. It's a different reason, because of chino. And he's starting to give a number of reasons what chino means. One shot that he says is, they were anxious that women should be, we want the women to want to get married, and if they're not going to be entitled to get, they're not going to easily get the ksuba, they'll never want to get married. Which the Mefarshim made the observation is very interesting. Because a moment ago we said that women are anxious to get married. And now we're saying women aren't anxious to get married only if they're going to be able to easily obtain the ksuba. So another pshat that I saw is that we want that while a woman is married to a husband, she should treat her husband properly, and if she'll know that she could get, that she's going to get her ksuba payment, that will create an environment in the home that she should treat her husband properly. Another pshat that I saw, the Shita Mekubetza suggests, we're referring here to a situation where the woman's marriage is over. She's divorced, or she's a widow, and we want her to be able to easily get remarried. If she'll have the ksuba payment, so she'll be a woman of means, and a woman of means is more likely to be able to get remarried. Says the Gemara, Amar Nachman, the Rachel is Dr. Lenefsi Yisrael. Originally, I did not sell off the assets of Yisrael. However, once I heard what Rav Huna said, the Yasri, the Akli, the Loi, the Day, Lazli, Basu, Shifkayu, that if the Yisoyman owe money and they don't pay it, they will end up where their father ended up. I started selling off their assets. Asked the Gemara, Kar my Tam Aloy, why originally did he feel the need to do it? Answers the Gemara, Omer Papa, Priest Bal Chayv is a mitzvah. The Yasmi, they're not obligated to do a mitzvah. So the Mefarshim debate what exactly is it a mitzvah d'oraisa? The Rishonim argue, is it a mitzvah d'oraisa? That's the opinion of the Rosh. The opinion of the Urayim is that it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanim. Furthermore, the Machlokes, what is the mitzvah? Rashi says that we learn it from the word hint tzedek, hint shalchot tzedek. We have to be honest in our dealings. The Ritva and the Ramban say we learn it from the pasuk. Vish ashat noishibai yotzei leches ha'avot. If we owe something, we should pay it. Others say we learn from the pasuk of Eishiv as a gzela. Do we have to give back if it's not ours? I saw a very interesting question from Chaim Brisker. If the entire rule of paying a chayiv is only a mitzvah, so we know that by mitzvahs there's a rule, ayivazbeis, that if you're paying to do a mitzvah, ayivazbeis yoyts mechaymish, you don't have to give more than a fifth, more than 20%. So why over here do they have to, why over here is there no such rule? So the simple answer of Chaim gives is that ayivazbeis mechaymish is only from your own money. But here, you're not using your own money. It's money that doesn't belong to you. There is no din of ha'ivazbeis, ha'ivazbeis yoysi b'chaymish. Another pshat that I saw is that the rule of ha'ivazbeis, ha'ivazbeis yoysi b'chaymish is in a case where at least I'll complete fulfilling the mitzvah. But over here, if I won't pay off the entire obligation, I will have not completed the mitzvah. And therefore, the halacha is that you have to pay off whatever is involved. The Mefarshim also say, why are we not concerned? Why are we only concerned about the mitzvahs of say? Why are we not concerned about the mitzvahs lois say of lois sigzol? So there's two turutzim that I saw. The Divrei Yecheskel of Cheskel Abramsky said, the Divrei Yecheskel, not Cheskel Abramsky, the Divrei Yecheskel says that lois sigzol is only in a situation where there is no intent to ever pay off. Here he intends to eventually pay off, so there's no lois sigzol. The Stipler says that lois sigzol is only in a situation where I stole. Here, since it wasn't a loan initiated by the assignment, it was a loan initiated by the father, there won't be lois sigzol here. Funerator Schuammer, there's another reason why he originally thought that the assignment don't have to pay, because Eimer Tzrari acts the same. We need to be concerned that maybe I'm concerned that maybe the creditor already took his money, and since the creditor we took his money, therefore we don't. I didn't take let the assignment sell off their assets. Ask the Ramai Benayim, what's the nafkamina between these two explanations? Answer the Gemara: Ik Benayim kishchayim money. When the father admitted before he died that he still owed the money. Or, Shemtua, the father was in Chayrim for not paying off his obligations, or Meis B'Shamte, and he died while he was still in Chayrim. So if the concern, if the issue is because of the mitzvah, it doesn't make a difference. If the issue is that we're concerned that the father may be paid off, here we have no reason to have that concern, because we know that he certainly didn't pay off. Sholchimitam, and they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Shemtua b'meis b'shamtei. The reason, the case here is a situation where we know for sure the father didn't pay off, and the halachas of Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, that's why if the father paid off, if we have a concern maybe the father paid up, we don't collect from the assignment. If we have no such concern, the assignment indeed have their assets sold in all circumstances to pay off their father's debt. Now, as says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Shema Yisrael Mishloi Shinyoi, Shema Agdashi Shinyoi, Machriza Vabai Kibarev. Ask the Gemara. Again, Ramai Iskin, Ilayim Abal Choyim Avdi Kachavim, Mitzos, will the guy be willing to wait the 30 days and not correct his interest? El Pshita Abal Choyim Yisrael. So Bishma, Rav Huna B'Rav Yishua, the Mishnah is understandable. Nukalei, he'll explain that Amishnah talk about Shchayim Moedah. The father had admitted that he owes the money, and therefore the Mishnah says that in such a situation, we even sell off the assets of Yisraelim Tanim to pay off the debt. El Rapapa, that says that the issue is because of Kriyas Balchay Mitzvah. How do we understand the Mishnah? Amar Papa, Ibai saying I can explain the Mishnah speaking about Iksuba, and we just explained because Chino. We sell off even the assets of Yisraelim Ketanim to pay off the debt. Ibai is saying about Chayv Ev Kachavim, Shekivel Avodim Medina Yisrael, that he's willing to wait. Ask the Gemara, E Kibbalov, if he's willing to wait. Linta Adagodli, let him wait until they become adults. Answered the Gemara, Kibbalov Lazu, Flood Kibbalov Lazu. He's willing to wait 30 days, but he's not willing to wait until they become Gedolim. Toshna. We learned at the Braisa on Daf Kof Aleph from the days at the bottom. Amanas Litin Lishik Subasai, or Bal Choyv Choyvai. We sell off the assets for those reasons. The Maiskina. Again, ask the Gemara. You have Bal Choyv and the Kachavim Ritzais to wait the 30 days. El Pshita Bal Choyv Yisrael. Bishlam Ravuna Ben Yeshua. And therefore, if the father said he owes the money, we always sell off the assets. That would be what the Bryce is speaking about. That's why we sell the assets to pay off the ksuba. And tomorrow, and to let us go through the chroza process. Ask the Gemara. If he's willing to wait, linter had the godly, answered the Gemara. So kibbalov lezuv, lo kibbalov lezuv. He's not willing to wait that long. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar. Rav says the reason we don't collect from Yisoyimim is a different reason. Shum shoyv. We need to be concerned that maybe the father paid off the loan and gave this person a shoiver. And that's why we need to be concerned, and that's why it got a shoiver, and the assignment don't know about that shoiver that exists in their father's documents. Is that a halachic concern? But a woman who's collecting a ksuba payment, not where a husband is there. Leitifra el b'shvua. V'amr of achas sarabira. Masba of neir vitzuk nafka. La'toch yehoma. Lo'yishan al ksubas isha. B'shem chino. That's why we're leaning. Al b'choyv lo'y. Rav amr of Nachman. Afil b'choyv nami. Even b'choyv we collect when the person isn't there. V'chash l'shoyver. If there's a concern that a shoyver was written, so why can we allow the Baal Chayv to collect? Why not Nechish? Why also not Nechish that he already paid and got a shoiver? Answered the Gemara. Only Hoskin Rim Tama. We're concerned that unless we will be lenient, I'll borrow money and then I'll go overseas. And if the Loch will be, because of these concerns, you can never collect for me, for my assets, then nobody will ever lend money. That's why they were particularly lenient. Amar Rav, Hilchasa ein iskakel nechsi yisaimim. We don't sell off the assets of yisaimim ketanim. From Amar, if the father before he passed away said to nu, pay it niskakel. Sadazu, umarazu niskakel vemei midim atrapis. If the father, the story Rashi explains, not only said pay, but he was specific how it should be paid, then there's no need to have an apotropos even. Sotah said, on the other side, but if he didn't specify which field, we pay it, the skokin, or we made an apotropos. Amr Nadoi, but Nadoi disagrees. Kul the skokin, we made an apotropos. In all cases, we sell off the assets, but we appoint the apotropos. Levam and Itzah, Sotah Shem Shalom. Unless there are edim that the father had stolen this field, and if they're able that the father stole this field, we just take that field and give it back to its true owner. On Ravash, Hilka, we don't sell off the assets of Yisoyimim. Don't Rava, Hilka say in the Skokin. Vimas Pekinen, but if we do, in a situation that we do, Mekmina Apotropis, Dama Vidroi, the Kulin the Skokin, Mekmina Apotropis, Vav, the Nitzah Sodashen Shaloi, that's super sacro like Mexican.